Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Whether this is your first time joining us, or you have been longtime members and friends, thank you for joining us this weekend. We are continuing our sermon series, Dangerous Prayers. And this weekend, we will flip the prayer blanket over as we change the direction and the focus of our prayers. Oh, you'll find these prayers just as dangerous, if not more so, as we move from asking God to help us look inward to asking Him to help us look outward. We have been challenged so far in this series to ask God to search me. Point out every sin and shortcoming to each one of us. And then show me the way I need to be going and the changes I need to make to be the person that you want me to be, the fit vessel that you can use, the person you created and desire for me to be. We have been challenged to ask God to break my heart. Help me understand just how serious my sins and their consequences really are. Help me feel the crushing weight of sin on my heart and lead me to true repentance. Help me to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. The NIV says, let us throw off everything that hinders. And then Pastor Jeff challenged us to ask God to speak to me. Tell me, show me what your will is for my life, and then help me to follow you. Your will be done, not mine. God said, then what? Hush. Hush and listen for my still small voice. For just a moment, give it a rest. Put your phone down. Turn off the TV. Stop playing your video game. Take a break from your social media. Be still and know that I am God. Last weekend, we challenged you to ask God to make me bold. Help me to stand up and speak out for Him. Give me the courage and the confidence to overcome my fears, or to at least push through my fears to do battle against the schemes of the devil. Those prayers are asking God to help you and me to get right with Him, to get in step with His plan for your life. Plans, Jeremiah says, to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans, He has plans to give you hope and a future. Now, all of those prayers are kind of like being recruited for God's army and then asking Him to send us to spiritual boot camp and let the Holy Spirit be our drill sergeant to get us in the best shape of our spiritual lives, to get us ready and fit for spiritual war. And now, now we come to the time to graduate for boot camp. And our prayers need to be focused not so much on the man or the woman we are and are supposed to be, and focus more on the mission God has been preparing us for. The dangerous prayer we're going to challenge you to pray this weekend is, Lord, send me. I'm ready. deploy me. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6 or follow along on the screen and look at verse 8. The prophet says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Now, if you are like me, we have to add to that prayer, "Send me with a list and with directions." I don't know if you were watching me over there or not. I love and hate that song we sang about, "Shout to the north, north and the south, sing to the east and the west." Is that right? Man, I'll tell you, I am so directionally challenged I can't even sing directions right. Perhaps you saw this little ditty I reposted on Facebook recently. I accidentally changed the GPS voice to male. Now it just says, "It's around here somewhere, keep driving." That's kind of the way I am. I didn't realize how bad my sense of direction was until my GPS said, "In 400 feet, do a slight right, stop, and let me out." This message is in two parts. Part one is coming to you by way of questions. As we look at Isaiah 6, 8, notice these questions and answers. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" First question, who? And two parts to that. Who's asking? Well, the Lord is. "I heard the Lord say, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?'" And who is the answer? Me. "Here am I, send me." And where? Where am I supposed to go? Everywhere. But start where you are. Go into all the world, but start in Jerusalem. Start at home and in your hometown. Then move on to Judea. And then if you're serious about this, go to Samaria. Go to the people you don't like and who don't like you. And trust me, when you've let God send you that far, you will want to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Into every highway and byway, into every nook and cranny, into every church and under every rock, into the streets and the alleys. As you go, wherever you go, that's where. And why? Why send me or you or anybody else? He says to tell the people. The very next verse, verse 9, he said, "Go and tell this people." Go tell this people. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 records Jesus' invitation, you may remember it, to Peter and Andrew when they first met. Jesus says this, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you to fish for people. I will make you," if you learned it in King James, "fishers of men." Go tell the people. Jesus said in John 20, 21, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Jesus was sent to seek and to save the lost. And he sent us to do the same. In writing to the church at Corinth, Paul says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." We found reconciliation with God, and now he's given us the ministry of telling everyone, everywhere, that they too can be reconciled to God. Questions and answers. Moving to part two, we'll take a moment and look at the journey. Our Christian journey is defined by the doors we go through and the doors we pass by. Let me first of all say that not all doors are places. Oh, it can be places, and usually is, but they can also be words, conversations. Ever say or hear someone say things like this, "Oh, you did not just go there." Or, "You did not just say that." Ever find yourself in the defensive position trying to explain a misunderstanding? It goes like this, "That's not what I said. That's not what I meant." And it's okay, because we can always fix it. We can always make it better by saying things like, "You weren't listening." "You always hear what you want to hear." Or the best one, "If you would stop talking, I could explain." Not all doors are places. Having said that, places, words, conversations, whatever, some doors we need to pass by. We're all familiar with the expression, "Don't go there." Keep in mind that can apply to our conversations as well as places. It can apply in the workplace as well as in the church house. It can apply in your marriage as well as in any other relationship you have. Some doors we need to pass by. Here's three reasons. Number one, because some doors can lead to temptation. The Lord taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, bring on the temptation, I can handle it." No, that's not what it says, is it? "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one." Some doors can lead to temptation. Paul warns us in his letter to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, "If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit," or King James would say, "you who are spiritual, should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted." Even when we're trying to do the right thing, sometimes, if you aren't careful, you can fall prey to that temptation as well. To the Corinthians, he wrote, "So if you think you are standing, be careful that you don't fall." Some doors can lead to temptation. Doors like texting and tweeting and posting on Facebook, a simple statement, an opinion, and the next thing you know, there is a war of words being waged. Words are flying back and forth like arrows in battle, and we're calling people we don't even know, and some we do know, all kinds of names and making all kinds of accusations. Words we can never get back are plastered on social media. And it's not just social media. A keystroke and you're watching pornography. An innocent chat. A little flirting at the office. A lunch with a coworker alone. A lingering hug. A thank you kiss on the cheek. And before you know it, you're headed to secret rendezvous. Some doors can lead to temptation and need to be passed by. A second reason some need to be passed by is because some doors can lead to division. Division in your family and division in God's family. Jesus said, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. The church in Corinth wrote to Paul for help in becoming the church God wanted them to be. And he writes them back and begins by telling them, if that's what you really want, if you really want to be the church God wants the church of Corinth to be, the church God wants MCC to be, he starts off by saying, get your act together. Stop arguing with each other. In spite of your differences, become one in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul writes, I appeal to you that all of you agree with one another, that there be no divisions among you. Because what Jesus said, a house that is divided against itself will not stand. Any argument immediately sets the family up to take sides. And it can manifest itself in anger. Words being said that shouldn't be. And sometimes the parting of ways. And we can argue over the most ridiculous things, can't we? It's almost so sad it's humorous. I actually served a church that got into a big fight over whether or not to change the blinds of the windows in the sanctuary to curtains. My grandmother donated those blinds. Well, they're outdated. You don't like them? They're not good enough for you? If it's good enough for Paul, it'll be good enough for you. A very true and cautious statement is this. All the devil has to do to split a church is to start an argument. And that's true of a marriage, a work relationship, or anything else. All he has to do to cause division is just start an argument. Any argument sets us up to take sides. We argue over the dumbest things. If only we would spend more time working together instead of against one another. Some doors can lead to division. And the third reason some doors need to be passed by is because some doors can lead to sin. Satan opened that door in the Garden of Eden. God said, Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. And Satan said he didn't mean it. God says if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. The King James Version calls it an abomination. But Satan says that's not fair. We can't help who we love. And besides, it's legal. God says, choose life. Taking life is murder. Satan says, but if you don't want that baby, kill it now. Kill it at any time, even after its birth. Taking a life is a choice, and besides, it's legal. May I remind you that just because something is illegal doesn't mean that it's right. Some doors can lead to sin. And that's why some doors we need to pass by. However, some doors we need to go through. What doors are those, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Those would be the doors of opportunity. And they are everywhere. We need to pray for God to speak to us and make it clear when a door is a door of opportunity. We need to pray for the boldness to go through those doors. We have been plagued with one expression far too long. Opportunity only knocks once. It has been reinforced with the very inspirational poem, I shall pass this way but once. Any good that I can do or any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Listen, that poem is talking about all of life. I will only live this life one time. That's not about every opportunity that comes along. Only comes once. Opportunity only knocks once? Not necessarily. Pray for another opportunity to make it right. When you find yourself saying, I should have said, then pray for another opportunity to say it. Opportunities present themselves and sometimes re-present themselves all the time. You see your classmates every day. You see your co-workers every day. You see your spouse and your children every day. Pray for the opportunity to say to them, I'm sorry, I should have told you last time we spoke, and then tell them. When you find yourself saying, I should have gone to see them, then pray for another opportunity to go see them. You know who is the king of second chances, don't you? Jesus. Oh, how I'm so glad he didn't just let me hear the gospel once and then say, oops, you had your chance. It only came on once. And bad as I am at directions, I'm pretty thick-headed at listening even to God sometimes. How about you? How many times have you heard the gospel message? How many sermons and Sunday school lessons have you heard? And every one of them is another chance for you to make a decision to change your life forever. Some doors we need to go through. And we need to be praying, Lord, send me. When God says, there's an opportunity, but whom shall I send? Who will come for us? Well, not me, God. I'm awful busy. My calendar's pretty full. Or not me. I don't know enough. I'm certainly not qualified to go there. Or whatever excuse. Pastor Jeff led us a few weeks ago through all the people that God had challenged with things to do that were not going to make their lives easy. But did you notice how almost every one of them, not all, but almost every one of them, the first thing they did was start making excuses? Why they should. Why it shouldn't be me. Who am I that I should stand in this pulpit week after week and share the good news with you? What makes me so qualified? Nothing. Just the Holy Spirit using me. And I pray He uses me as best He can. Some doors we need to go through. And when God opens a door before you and asks Him, shall I send? Then answer with the prophet, well, here am I. Send me. When I read that, sometimes it reminds me. I was growing up, see if you grew up like this. On the playground at recess time, we'd always try to choose up the teams and play kickball or stickball or something. And the two really cool kids got to be the captains and pick sides. And as they were picking back and forth, a couple of us, including me, was one of them on the side like going, pick me, pick me, pick me. I sometimes feel that I'm that inadequate that when God says, who shall I send? I have to go, woo, 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 send me, send me. He doesn't need you to do that. When He says, whom shall I send? If you say, here am I, send me, you say, okay. Let's go. So what's our takeaway? Well, as we've said in the past messages, put on the whole armor of God. Arm yourself for spiritual war. And pray, here am I, send me. And then boldly go where you've never gone before. Boldly go where He sent you. Father God, it's one thing for us to spend that time asking You to search us, to break us, to speak to us, to make us bold. In other words, to clean up our act, because we all know we fall short. We all know we're not the one You ought to be picking for the 18. Some of us don't even belong on JP, we think. But you think, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I've already prepared a work for you to do. But will you go? Help us tonight, this morning, whenever people are watching, to simply say, well, here am I, Lord, send me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Can you imagine if all of us answered that call every time? Well, here am I, send me. It's not like I don't have something else to do. It's not like I don't have enough on my plate. What it does mean is that if you've got something for me to do, then here I am, send me. As we stand and as we sing, if there's a decision you need to make, would you come during our invitation? If you're watching us online this weekend, please get in touch with us with any decision or questions you might have. We want to work with you.